Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome in. Friday edition. Robbie and Rex showed here at 102.5, 106 for the game. Joe Rex showed, sadly, at microphone one yet again today. But happily, we have Paul Kuharski in again. Got Nick Kieser producing, intern Brennan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And I do have more John Fogerty tickets to give away today.
Fortunate son!
I want Green River and Born in the Bayou. Those are my CCR jams. Down on the Corner. I mean, they're so good. And John Fogerty, one of the great baseball songs of all time, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Center field.
So we'll be giving those away, I don't know, probably maybe the 7 o'clock hour. It's up to Nick Kieser. It's really his call. But today, Paul, we got something to react to, which is not always the case on July 19th. But a very interesting story from Dan Pompey, which shed a little more light on the Derrick Henry. And there was a lot to it. It was a good Derrick Henry story. It was an interesting story. Dan seems to be of my mind, which is that Derrick Henry could be a really significant add for the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, there's some talk in this story at The Athletic about, you know, his routine and everything. It actually lays out some of the details of his routine that are quite interesting. I mean, my goodness, he leaves no stone unturned when it comes to, you know, constructing this mega transformer body that he has.
And we heard from Todd Torricelli for the very first time.
That's right. But the thing that, of course, that hit me was like, oh, basically the fact that Rand Carthon had a deal in place with Eric DaCosta last year to trade Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens, I presume around the trading deadline. Although maybe, I guess it could have been a little earlier than that.
For a fourth that could have turned into a third.
For a conditional third, right? Like a fourth at worst, a conditional third if Henry hit certain statistical milestones with the Ravens.
Yeah. Now, do we presume these are marks that he – yeah, but he's the last year of his contract. Look, I think we'd all heard rumblings that such a deal existed, and it wasn't enough for ownership.
Yeah, so that's the first.
I'm very confident that Mike Vrabel wanted that deal to happen. Mike Vrabel knew that the team was awash and wanted them to get as much as they could in terms of draft capital to rebuild.
Because I have seen a fair amount of, oh, Vrabel, no. Screwed over the Titans.
No, it was not Mike Vrabel who did not want. Mike Vrabel wanted them to trade more. He was disappointed that all they could deal was Kevin Byard. And I think he was disappointed that the roster didn't prove worthy of more deals, that they didn't have more tradable chips. Now, Derrick Henry was likely their most tradable chip. But my read, and I think it's more than a read, is that Amy Adams Strunk was reluctant to deal him. It would have really been seen as throwing in the towel. You're giving away, not giving away, but the face of the franchise, the guy hanging most prominently on a banner outside, was not worth that to her. In exchange for him running out the string and having that moment at the end of the season with the Jacksonville game and putting a cap on his statistics with the franchise and all of that was worth it for her.
So to quote Dan Pompey's writing, quote, he said that the framework was agreed upon, fourth, like we said, could have been a third. Quote, however, others in the Titans hierarchy apparently were not on board with the deal, so Henry played out the season in Nashville, end quote. So you believe ownership? I mean, that's the thing. If it's not Vrabel, if Vrabel was not fighting it, and if you think about it, why would Vrabel fight? I mean, you know, Vrabel and Henry had a great relationship, but he also saw the reality of the team.
You know,
last year.
People could argue he wanted to win games, and his best chance to win games was with Henry and all of that. But And I'd factor Bryce Wasserman in there, who's got an increasingly loud voice and is, you know, I consider part of the family side of these decisions.
He's dating Amy's daughter.
Daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you also have, you of course have Amy Chad Brinker. Well, you have Chad Brinker.
Chad Brinker. Yeah.
But you believe ownership was like, it's just not the time to do it.
I think it was just, you know, largely sentimental decision, so, which I can understand to a degree.
So in retrospect, then, should people be upset about that?
Well, you know, that third round pick, if he went there and did the things that would have made it a third round pick, not having a third round pick was an awfully big deal in this draft. You know, so we're talking about a right tackle that could have been in the mix here. We're talking about a receiver that they didn't get to add, though they feel pretty good at receiver. We're talking about a hole at safety that could have been addressed there. We're talking about an edge rusher that maybe could have come. So I think if you look at it dispassionately now, would you have taken the second half of last season without Derrick Henry in exchange for filling one of those holes conceivably now? You know, it's easy to say now that they should have done it. I think also there's probably a degree of it being the Ravens.
And then
thrilled now. Yeah. And there's also the degree of maybe not wanting to help the Ravens, but he winds up with the Ravens 8, 9, 10 games later anyway.
Right.
For nothing.
Yeah.
I think it's a deal that they should have done.
So the Ravens, by the way, with the 93rd pick, they took Adisa Isaac, defensive end, pass rusher out of Penn State, their fourth round pick. They took TJ Tampa, cornerback out of Iowa State, for whatever that's worth. There were some other, you know, there's some other good players that went right.
Who
after
else went around that third?
Yeah,
round
so
pick.
You had. Let's see, you didn't really have much going on in terms of offensive
pass rushers.
Jalix Hunt went to the Eagles, pass rusher. Dwayne Carter, Luke McCaffrey went to the Commanders at 100 at wide receiver. You know, I think he's guy who could be a good player in the league. Jatavion Sanders, the really good tight end from Texas. I don't think they were going to take a tight end. Troy Franklin, receiver from Oregon, pretty good player. So
some options there.
Yeah, you could have helped yourself. No doubt about it. Of course, the Titans did pick at 106, and they took Cedric Gray. But, yeah, it's like, I guess I put that out there to Titans fans.
It was a low third. I mean, that's important to know.
Certainly.
But it's a pick. You know, it's a third/fourth pick. It would have been a low fourth.
Low third, low fourth. They'll put it out the Titans fans then. Are you upset? Was it worth it to have Derrick Henry play out the year, to have the really cool scene where he got on the microphone after his last game and thanked everybody in the world after that? You know, at this point, again, I think right now a lot of people would be like, no. But in the moment, I also think a lot of people would have been furious that they moved him, and I do think that there's a nice bow was put on his time here. So,
you know, a friend of mine's pointing out he understands her hesitance after allowing J-Rob to jettison AJ. You know, doing it in the midst of two awful seasons after trading AJ would have had fans rioting in the moment. But again, your job is to think long term.
Yeah,
I think your coach would. I don't know what kind of assessment Rand was giving her of the roster. I'm confident that Vrabel was giving her, if she was asking for it, a candid assessment of that roster.
Of course, their conversations, you know, who knows what they were or how many that they should have had that they didn't have. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. So let us know on the phone, the game phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. We are going to talk about Derrick Henry and get a little bit more into that. Also today we've got Charles Robinson has bumped a day. He can tell us all about his day he spent with the Houston Texans. Maybe we can like scoop him on something he's going to write about them. We got TD also at 8 o'clock. So we got a massive, awesome day of NFL discussion today. But
I took
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I took on one of the most tedious processes you could imagine last night. I have two super tedious things on my list
okay.
that I was going to get done this summer that, of course, I did not get done this summer. One is sorting out my mileage. I have an app where you swipe, you know, left for business and right for personal.
So this is for taxes.
Yeah. But, you know, I should, like, do it at the end of every month, and I don't. And the other is, you know, it's not demanding that I do it. My email box has, you know, over 20,000 messages. It's a filing cabinet. But my iCloud/phone has a ridiculous amount of pictures/videos. And I was determined to go through that and get rid of videos like one I posted last night of Adam Humphries beating Logan Ryan to the corner to catch a Marcus Mariota practice pass.
Wow, man.
So I deleted about 700 videos yesterday on my laptop. And
do,
I only
do you
have,
know how much space you opened up by doing it?
Well, it's on iCloud, so I don't really know. You know, on my phone, they're just backed up on iCloud. But that got me from like 23,000 down into the high teens. So if I could do a couple more nights like that, this is not
oh, man.
This is not taking away Simon looking at ball three of an at bat when he was 10.
Yeah, you want to save those? Yeah, you want to save the
kids. I could get it down to the hit.
That's true.
Of the at bat.
Yeah,
but
true.
I decided that's too much to take on. I just want to get rid of Titans at podiums, at lockers, and practice plays.
Yeah, and maybe undressing whatnot. Hopefully, get rid of some of those too. I mean, come on, man, you lobbed it up to me. I mean, you know, I'm gonna. Yeah, you know.
It's really not that.
Oh no, it's funny.
Hurtful.
Oh, it's funny. It'll continue to be said. All right, we come back. Your reaction, Derrick Henry. Could have been traded. The Titans could have had an extra pick. And also, we're going to talk about life without Derek. Have we really, really thought about life without Derek this year in Nashville, Tennessee? Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, folks, tune in to 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Brickyard 400. Coverage will begin at 12:30 p.m. with the race starting at 1:30. Coverage also available on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I haven't said, Keezer, how are you doing, man? You haven't said anything today. You all right? Everything
he's,
okay?
He's good.
Are you're dealing with? No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking Nick Keezer how he's doing.
I'm well. I was telling Brennan that I played hockey last night, Joe.
Okay.
And I'm in your neck of the woods for two games tonight.
Oh, down there at the Red Nonesville Pike?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll get out there and check it out.
5 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
They're not going to be there.
Check. 5
not,
o'clock
they don't,
and 11 o'clock.
I don't need
o'clock.
Anyone there.
I mean, that's a cheap pandering thing. Maybe we'll get out there to check it out. What are the odds that the Rex Roads come to see
I was going to follow up with my joke. Remember, we won't, but you cut me off.
Yeah.
So 5 o'clock game, 11 o'clock game. So is there going to be like a happy hour in between? You're just going to be
apparently
like
we're going to go check out Mill Creek.
Oh, heck yes.
What's the
I might actually see you there.
You're going to check out the actual creek?
No, the brewery.
Uh-huh. It is right by the creek, though.
Yeah.
They just said Mill Creek, and Joe knew immediately. Sounds like
oh,
he
no.
goes there.
Oh, I'm like a, yeah.
I'm
uncomfortably
out in the
a regular. Yeah.
Bring back the gout.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. You gotta watch the gout. More chicken, more wine, less red meat, less beer. But they do have good beer. And
good luck
beer.
Tonight,
go.
Nick. Stay healthy.
Yeah, good luck.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We
it's
played
just a fun time.
We played hoops last night and had an ankle injury, but not me. So that's a positive.
I've had more trouble this week adjusting to the morning schedule than any time I've substituted.
Is that right?
I've intended to work out at 4 o'clock. It's just not happened.
Work out before the show?
No. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. I was like, whoa, man.
No, not,
take it easy.
No, nobody's having 4 o'clock workouts, I don't
Holy
think.
Holy cow.
But just real struggle
yeah.
after I get home.
It's funny how – yeah, no, it's – yeah, it's hard to keep it going – 100 all the way through afterward, you know, but it's also hard to sometimes find the nap time. But
I'll be napping again. It's not hard to find a nap time right now. Starting next week, it would be hard to find a nap time.
That is very true. So Derrick Henry, first of all, just let's talk about beyond, and we're going to get back into the question of like whether you know as a fan. Titans fans, if you would have preferred to, you know, that pick. I think right now a lot of people would say so, who at the time were presented with the choice might have been like, you know, I would have not felt great about it, you know. But I get it. I do. I mean, obviously, you could have gotten something. I think it worked out pretty well just in terms of for him, you know, to finish it out. But again, what is that? What's the value of that when it comes down to it? You know, the value of Derrick Henry and the memories people will have are the good times when he was at his best and the Titans were really good and were fighting to, you know, try to make a run for championship.
I'm curious about what those incentives to get the third would have been.
Yeah, I'd love to know that.
That's an important piece of it to me. But my question to you last night when we were texting back and forth about this really was, I think most people did a pretty good job of coming to terms with the idea that it was Derrick Henry's last season over the course of last year, largely out of media guidance that we were telling people it was going to happen. You know, people were like, oh, no, give him $10 million a year for 2 years, which was preposterous because I think he got 16 for 2 years, which was a touch high by my estimation.
I thought he was going to get about $4 or $5 million like last year.
Yeah, but I think
good for him.
It's going to resurface now as you see Dan Pompey's story, as you see practice highlights of him in Baltimore, and as the Titans sort out what they're doing. So a lot of us like the idea of understand that he's not a fit for what Brian Callahan wants to do offensively, that to less predictable backs who are not going to signal what's coming when they're on the field is a nice idea. But and that the Titans will count the pass game production of Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears as run game production. But I do think that we will probably face again a question about if Henry does well. And I think there's no reason to think he doesn't have some good football left in him, though it's not the same. If Henry's doing well and these guys aren't fantastic out of the gate as they figure out their combination and their run game and all of that, there will be a lot of second guessing as to isn't predictable from a once great guy who's still very good more favorable than unpredictable with lesser guys.
Right. Yeah, great and predictable or mid and unpredictable.
Which really hinges more broadly on the total Titans offense. How much more are they going to throw? How much more do these receivers take off the run game? You know, I think in broad strokes, it's really about how much more, quote unquote, fair or not, the word of a modern offense is it.
Yeah.
Which really goes all the way to not just Callahan, but to Mr. Levis.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, though, if it works out in terms of scheme, and especially to me, if it works out up front, then you could also look back and say, man, it would be nice to see Derek in this thing.
Behind these guys.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Derek in this balanced offense with good receivers. Remember when they had A.J. Brown, it was working out pretty well for everybody, right? And with a quarterback playing well and with an offensive line that has been upgraded, you know, now what would it look like with 22 with this? Because I do think that a lot of the struggles for Derek, first of all, he has lost a step. He's obviously not Derrick Henry of 2020, just absurd.
Yes.
But also, as pointed out in Dan's story, he also like hit almost 22 miles an hour last year in a run, and it's more than like three or four guys of the whole year. Yeah. He can still do that, but he's lost a step. But over the last couple of years, things have been so dysfunctional and so bad around him. How much? And then also, I guess OC. I think the predictability piece. It's a fair criticism at times. You know, second,
he is what he is.
Second, but no, right. But second and 10. You know, like you don't always have to run to try to make it third and 6.
And that's what I think people are most excited about.
Yeah,
that second and
for
10.
Sure. Yeah, right. No, and also first and second and 2 because you threw for 8 yards on first down.
Yeah, but the question is, are we sure that when they put Pollard or Spears out there on second and 2, it's as natural a conversion as it was with Henry. We're not until we see it. So that's going to be an interesting factor. And Derrick Henry had a very, very big leadership position on this team. I respect his growth in that area as much as I respect anything about him. And I didn't see it coming. I don't think many of us saw it coming just based on that personality. Look, I'm admitting it about myself. I don't like the personality. That personality type doesn't strike me as an NFL leadership personality type, and he made it work. The quiet grind.
Yeah. Well, it's a
but
cliche.
He had a huge voice in that locker room.
Eventually.
For a very quiet guy. He grew into the role.
Yeah,
and he might not have grown as much into the role if there wasn't a vacuum, but he saw a vacuum in that locker room. And he knew that it needed to be filled, and he went and filled it. He was adaptable that way. And in that way, he was a more valuable football player than he might have been in some other situations where maybe he was in a locker room that had, you know, a dominant offensive lineman who was a big-time leader and a quarterback unlike Marcus, who had a much bigger presence and those things, and he wouldn't have had to do that. He had to do it here, and he not only did it, but he did it very well.
Yeah, I still think he's the cliche leader by example guy. I mean, he's the hardest worker, right?
He rounded guys up when he needed to.
But he also, he did have, so it got to the point where, again, when everything was good, Tannehill was definitely an upgrade over Mariota. He was a good leader.
Yes.
Byard was obviously a great leader.
Yeah. Well, I'm staying on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah, sure, that's fine. I get, but
no real receiver leader during his time there.
Right. Yeah. No.
Right.
No. Yeah. I mean, AJ was a tremendous talent, but yeah, I wouldn't call him a
leader. Lawan was the offensive line leader, but he was not.
Not universally.
Not universally followed. Loved and followed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Johnny Smith maybe. A little bit, but not.
But
really.
Team-wide, you know, Byard obviously. I mean, yeah, like when they had stuff for a while, it was like, you know, it's going to be Tannehill and Byard are going to be the two who talk about it, right? But yeah, Derrick Henry was a very good, I don't know what you want to call it, like second fill to Tannehill kind of thing, I guess, basically. But yeah, very different.
Very important.
Never would have guessed it in his early
years. His early years.
And it's funny reading some of this stuff, and, you know, we've talked to people, and maybe you were more conscious of this in the time that I was not as much. Just sort of I wasn't a big fan of DeMarco Murray. The whole thing where, like, you try to talk to a guy, he's like, no, don't say a word to me. Let's bring the whole crowd. Then you can say a word to me. Like, come on, man. I'm just. Yeah. But, boy, there's definitely a little bit of retroactive DeMarco could be tough. DeMarco could be difficult.
Well, he could be difficult, but DeMarco brought the team back a degree of swagger.
Oh, yeah.
That it was
and
really lacking.
And good football.
Yes.
I mean, he was as good running back as there was in the league in 2016.
That was definitely on the good side of the good J-Rob, bad J-Rob. I mean, that was a very
– big-time move.
Very
fourth
good
round pick,
move.
Right? Fourth round pick?
Yeah, I think so.
To the Eagles? Yeah.
So. You know, they just wanted to get the hell out of a deal that they had just gotten into that didn't work out, which would make me a little wary of the Saquon Barkley thing, if you look historically.
Just hating on Barkley, I tell you what.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just skeptical. So the Derrick Henry thing is going to be a storyline throughout training camp. He's going to be all over SportsCenter.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that, but also – a little bit more on who the Titans do have now. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. PK in for Robbie. Getting geared up for camp. We got, presser Tuesday and first practice Wednesday, right? Unmute yourself,
Chief. On the
field
Wednesday. Nick not hooking me.
Very exciting. Very exciting. You can join in on the conversation. The phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, 615-737-1025. Also, as I click on it right now, the YouTube chat. You can't ignore the YouTube chat. You know,
You can.
I never used to go on the YouTube chat. Look at that. I go on the YouTube chat, and immediately I have my laptop not muted.
You don't like to mute.
You can hear me. I know. I'm bad about that.
You're not a guy that likes to mute.
Yeah. I'm bad about muting. But then sometimes I accidentally mute myself.
The world is shutting down over some computer issues, yet my sister-in-law, who's flying in from Philly, apparently has no issues.
What airline? Because
Southwest.
Yeah.
I think Southwest.
Well, Southwest is not affected, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's like American. I just was looking at this. For those of you out there, if you have flights this morning, yeah, you might want to, you know, I'm sure you've heard, but if you haven't, you might want to check on that. United, Allegiant, Delta, American apparently are affected by some kind of a computer issue, according to the FAA. So those flights from those carriers are grounded. So you said your sister?
In-law
is flying, yeah. So it has a little bit less air traffic
up there. Welcome to town.
Right now.
There's also crazy Nashville stuff going on because, like, the radio show that is on currently on ESPN, radio is on ESPN because ESPN's having trouble broadcasting.
Yeah. As I mute myself. Yes, exactly. Yeah, I talk trash about muting. Because I put it on to watch ESPN, so.
Unsportsmanlike is on.
All due respect to two people I very much like, Freddie Coleman and Courtney Cronin. But I was hoping to watch one for two.
I like Courtney Cronin a great deal.
Freddie Coleman's awesome. What's your beef with Freddie Coleman?
I mean, he's been a middle of the night guy for a long time for a reason.
Oh, good God. Okay, you just never know who Kuharski will randomly take shots at. I think he's good. So Derrick Henry and the Derrick Henry Ets. The replacements, the Henriettes. How good are they going to be this year?
Don't know. I mean, Tajay Spears has, some real potential. We saw some very nice runs out of him last year. What does he do with more volume? You know, our habit is to take a small sample size and project it into a bigger sample size and presume it's going to be the same. And that's certainly what they expect and hope for. Tony Pollard, struggled last year coming off a very bad broken leg suffered in January of last year, late season. And so he's a year removed from that, kind of found his footing late in the season. Was good enough to knock Ezekiel Elliott out of the picture in Dallas the year before that. Both talented guys. Look, for a long time, while the Titans were paying Derrick Henry a lot, not exorbitantly a lot, but a lot, and when they were a running back-centric team in a league where running backs are plug-and-play in a lot of teams, on a lot of good teams, the Titans were an outlier in how they approached running back. And now they're more in line with what the league does. It's a drastic change, and we're going to see how it works out. I'm imagining that they're going to be fine, but it's keyed around the scheme as much as it's keyed around the players.
Yeah. So how many teams are left? We've talked a lot this week about the Eagles and, the Saquon. I just can't wait to see it. It's really interesting because it's a little bit of a trend, and I think you could probably credit the Niners, but it's a little bit of a trend for these teams to go out and say, you know what, actually, we're going to pay for that guy. For that primary back, right? I mean, the Eagles being an example of that, I think you could look at the McCaffrey thing, and kind of draw a line there. But obviously, there are very few. You're right. Most teams have two and some sharing of duties. I think if the Browns, one of your, I think we both agree, one of the most fascinating teams in the league, if they do get the full Nick Chubb back from his devastating injury. But, I mean, there's all these pictures of him, like, squatting 500 pounds right now. He would be one of those few guys where it's like, that is the absolute primary back. The Colts, of course, after all the haggling and issues, have that situation. There aren't many. Who else comes to mind? I think Bijan Robinson, who we talked about yesterday. Is a guy who will definitely is that kind of guy in Atlanta. And the Eagles are banking on that being a good way to go. On you know, investing in an established guy at that position. Kenneth Walker in Seattle is kind of one of those guys I think will emerge. You know, he's a very good player, primary back. But, yeah, most teams are doing the combo thing to some degree. Not all the same styles. But the Titans, I think, are very, very interchangeable with those two guys.
Yes. And the interesting thing, Pompey pointed this out in the piece that got us started on Derrick Henry. He was like the seventh or eighth running back signed, and he was signed on the second day.
Right.
So as much as we talk about teams not being super, super running back reliant, teams did want to get their running back rooms in order.
And it was a better offseason for running backs than I would have guessed.
Yes.
Way better.
And moved very quickly to get guys in place. We saw guys like Aaron Jones went from Green Bay to Minnesota. Austin Eckler went from the Chargers to the Commanders. Devin Singletary ended up with the Giants. Pollard was a very early move coming here. DeAndre Swift got, I think, way too much guaranteed money going from Philadelphia to Chicago. Barkley, we mentioned. Josh Jacobs, who is a very productive back.
Good player.
Went from Las Vegas to Green Bay. There was a lot of running back movement far earlier than I expected. I thought running backs would wait and the price would come down and teams would plug. And I think that's the overriding thinking is, well, people will deal with the important positions and the big money first, and then they'll fill out their running backs.
Which is a fallacy.
And it worked opposite that way.
I mean, running back, they have the ball. It's still a hugely important position. It's just important,
but not in the salary cap order, which is often how free agency goes.
Yeah.
The biggest dollar moves go first. The corners and the edge rushers and the quarterbacks obviously are premier guys who tend to be the first day movement.
But this is an example of, even though the money is depressed, the importance is not.
The need was not depressed.
And some of the guys who were available were like, yes, that guy.
I mean, it was a very good class.
That guy improves my team. Like, this is a very important thing to, you know, the Lions, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Jahmyr Gibbs in his second deal. You know, when it gets to that point, he is a huge weapon in this league. I mean, and people were dogging them left and right for taking him where they did in the first round. No, if you have a guy who can hit home runs like that and can create space for your offense like that, that's hugely valuable.
We'll see what happens with him in year two as well. I mean, I think he's one of the young up and coming players in the league.
I agree. He should get the ball more.
You know, and then you have like a whole different level, a guy like Rashad Penny, who, you know, went to Philadelphia last year, didn't really do anything. He's an injury-prone guy. I don't know how many games you get out of him. He can give you big yards. He's in Carolina now. You know, what's the over-under for how many games he plays?
Yeah, and once you get
– 6.5 to me.
And once you get into injury-prone, you have to be an elite talent or else it quickly go, you know, get brushed aside. Yeah. Barkley is talented enough to where it's like, okay.
He's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth the gamble, though we'll see about that. But
And look, I like Saquon Barkley's talent. I think he's overpaid. And I don't believe in overpaying running backs. I think it's dangerous because of what you're talking about. And because the wall comes fast.
Were you mad about Derrick Henry's extension when he got it?
This team is different. And I don't think it – in the framework of this team's salary cap, I think they managed his contracts very well.
Yeah, it turned out to be one of the better contracts that John Robinson signed.
Yeah.
Talk about bang for the buck. All right, we come back. Speaking about bucks, interesting facts out there about – revenue in the various professional leagues we're going to get into a little bit. obviously, we have the new information coming out from the Green Bay Packers on the NFL's revenue, but also the other pro sports leagues and how they compare. Coming up, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie. And you came up with, I don't know if you didn't come up with it, but you.
I invented it.
You did. You counted up all the money. It's pretty impressive how you did that with all the pro sports leagues. But you sent me a thing the other day, and now I want to make sure that I find it and correctly convey the information.
It's from Sportico.
Sportico. Okay, yeah. So, very interesting breakdown of revenue among the four biggest leagues in this country, the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, and I guess that is the order of revenue, although MLB and NBA are tied. So 2023 revenue, these numbers, I wouldn't have necessarily guessed some of these numbers. NFL, $18.7 billion.
With 66% of it coming from national TV.
Right. That's
I would have expected that.
Yeah, that's where it gets interesting is the difference there, right? So $18.7 billion for the NFL. MLB, $10.9 billion. NBA, also $10.9 billion. And then NHL, $6.8 billion. Even though you like to dismiss the NHL like their revenue is like $700K a year.
I am dismissing the NHL. That is minuscule compared to the other leagues.
Is it minuscule? I mean, it's
pretty small.
I mean, it's more. I don't think it's minuscule compared to MLB and NBA. It's obviously less than half of the NFL.
It's pretty small. And if you look at the breakdown, and this is what I've told you time and time again, 44% of it is ticket sales. And I've said this time and time again about Nashville. If you took out the people who are at the games and you look at the TV ratings, which people don't do here, it is not a sizable, not followed that broadly by people in town.
Again, well, yeah, if you're comparing it to the NFL. But you're right, ticket sales for the NHL, 44%.
By far, the biggest.
It is. Now, MLB, 31%, and it's their biggest piece of their pie, too. So baseball, it's the same thing. Obviously, baseball, you're talking about 81 home games. Right. NHL, 41 home games. NBA, 40. NBA, their ticket sales, the second biggest piece of the pie, 26%. They have 41% national TV/media. That's a big chunk still for the NBA. That's a lot to do with ESPN. It's their product, and they push the heck out of it. NFL, the second biggest piece is ticket sales, but it's only 17% of their revenue. So, it goes to show you there's a huge difference in the revenue of national TV. I mean, and we know this, the highest rated programs in all of television every year, it's littered with NFL games. There's some college football that gets in there too, but
I think the biggest surprise on this for most people, it's not a surprise for me, would be the health of baseball tied with the NBA. I think most people would tell you the NBA is way more financially profitable than MLB, which is largely a product of the NBA's marketing to tell you how healthy and great it is and the ridiculosity, frankly, of its TV contract, which is way better than it deserves based on
bigger than
how
the ratings.
It's watched.
Bigger than the ratings warrant. Yeah, it's now it does, that's the thing. And people have tried to explain this to me, and I get it to a point. It does move the needle in some ways that other leagues don't, right? And this is more with younger people and things like that. I mean, it moves the needle in social media and things like that. Again, ESPN's a big part of it. But I tell you, one of the biggest surprises to me, Paul, because I'm not surprised that MLB is right there with the NBA. I thought that local TV/media would be – I would have figured that would be their biggest piece of their pie. Now, they are 23% because that's what it is, right? Baseball is so much about various markets, certain markets, and their local TV and what that brings in. If you're a very heavily followed, successful baseball franchise, your local TV, that's a huge part of the revenue of the league. It's 23%, which is definitely more. I mean, so local TV media for NFL, 1%. For the NBA, 13%. For the NHL, 11%. For MLB, 23%. But I actually would have thought it would have been bigger than that.
Well, I would have thought so too, except that their national TV / media is 26%. I'm shocked at that. So
I never would have guessed that would be higher.
Overall, they've got over 50% TV money, which surprises me. But that's my argument for baseball all the time. And I understand baseball's dire straits. But again, I'll say about baseball, in every market in the country, virtually every night, baseball is the number one rated show in its market. If you go to New York, the Yankees and the Mets are the top two things that are watched. In Philadelphia, everybody, you know, most people that turn on their TV are watching the Phillies. And on, city by city, unless your team is absolute dregs of humanity. In Detroit, your friends there are, you know, they may not be intently watching the Tigers, but odds are if their TV is on, the Tigers are on in the background.
Well,
and that's a huge thing.
Yeah. No, it goes to habits. For me, if my team is competitive, in the summer, there's not much going on. I mean, it's the timing is part of it, right? You're not competing with anything else. And it is. It's a daily routine of watching your team, right?
Here's another thing that's interesting. Team sponsors is part of this, and it's very consistent. NFL, 10%. Baseball, 10%. NBA, 12%. Hockey, 14%. That's a universal thing amongst these sports, is that sponsorship is roughly 10%.
So if you took TV / media and combined national and local, NFL's revenue is 67%. But again, 66 is the national. Baseball would be 49%. NBA would be 54%. And hockey would be 30%. So that does speak to, and that's why they're fourth, right? I mean, that really is what it is that they don't move the needle nationally, and again, their local is right in line with the NBA, but they don't move the needle nationally like the other sports.
And my
do.
Question is,
ticket sales are huge
about these local TV media stuff. Did 2023 reflect at all these Bally blackout troubles?
That's a good point.
And how much is that going to affect things going forward? I was shocked when I was up in New York to learn that, my buddy, one of my best friends, who's a big Yankee fan, hasn't had the Yankees on his cable network for 7 years. They basically lost him as a fan.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, absolute incompetence. All right, when we come back, we've got Charles Robinson, who just spent some time with the Texans, and we're going to get into all things NFL with Charles from Yahoo Sports on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's chumble. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.